Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome to another episode of To Be Honest. I'm your host, D'Angelo Williams, and your co-host, Jake, the madman. I own a dog named Barkley Seeley. Jake, what's going on, man? You fresh off your heels from Vegas? Did you learn anything on the dating scene in Vegas that you could potentially use in Virginia? Or is it just like the stuff that you learned on the West Coast ain't going to help you here on the East Coast?
I didn't learn anything because, as everybody knows, I'm not that guy. There was nothing to learn while I was out there. I got donkeyed in poker, so I wasn't happy about that. Good food while I was out there. But hey, like the girl I told you about, I actually for the first time ever slid into somebody's DMs and chatting back and forth, and then all of a sudden she went a little cold on me. So I can't figure her out. I can't figure it out if she wants to meet in person or not. So I'm at a loss. I still have yet to learn anything.
I'm pretty sure she probably wants to meet in person. You want to meet in person because the last person I knew that had an online relationship, Manti Te'o found out that she wasn't real. That's what you don't want to happen to you, Jake, because I'm pretty sure like he mourned the loss of his fake girlfriend. You don't want to be that person. Okay, I'm looking out for you.
I'll even give you a little insight to it. So like on Friday, texting back and forth, and I didn't hear from her till over the weekend. So I just waited and I shot her a message like, what was it, Sunday night. And it was about the fact that on Friday she said she was getting her hair done and stuff like that. And I said, how did it turn out? Let me see a pic. But hold on. She sent me a pic and says it looks better in person. I said, oh, is that your sly way of saying you want to get together for coffee or something? And then
you are horrible at this, Jake. What are you doing? You should have said, yes, I would love to see it in person. You name the date and time.
Well, now
you screwed it. You screwed. You know what? From here on out, when you get a message from her, forward it to me and let me respond. Because obviously, you doing it by yourself, you are really going to hinder yourself in moving forward.
Then what do I do now?
Well, at this point,
do I just
time, right now,
wait to see if she texts.
No. You don't wait. This is a classic case of. You know, we got to go old school with this because you met untraditionally. You met untraditionally, meaning you slid in her DMs on a computer so she can't see what it is you're doing. So this is your next line. Like, hey, I'm more of a traditional guy. I like meeting people out and like having drinks or, you know, drinks don't have to be alcohol. It could be coffee or it could be milk or whatever your preference of drink is. And you say, hey, you know, I'm more of a traditional guy. I'm not that guy, which everybody knows you're not that guy. Right. Everybody knows you're not that guy. And you tell her, hey, I'm a traditional guy, so I'd love to, you know, hang out. We can meet. You know, we can have drinks. You know, you name the place and time, and I'm there. Because I really would like to see your hair. And boom. Okay. Either she's going to say no or she's going to say yes. You have nothing to lose because, I mean, you squandered the first opportunity already. Like, now it's my turn to take over.
All right, I'll let you craft the text, send it to me, and I'll just copy and paste.
I didn't know you was this bad, Jake. I just kind of blew you off like, you know, he's just a little rusty because it's been a while. Like, you're more than rusty right now. Like, you're
what do you
like,
think? Well, wait, what do you,
lack of a better term, you're shooting blanks.
Here's the clear, I'll give you the inside there. What do you think, when you say a little while, what do you think a little while is?
I'm thinking, you know, like 9-10 months.
You're way under.
I'm way under. How long has it been, Jake?
We're not discussing that. I'm just gonna tell you, you're way under.
And you've never had the urge to be that guy.
I'm just not that guy. Do we have to classify what that is again?
No. You don't have to. You don't have to.
I don't even know where you want to go from this. I mean, are we going straight into football? Or are we getting serious? Or where are we going? I've clearly lost control. So
yeah, it's okay. I'm gonna help you gain control of this situation. So from now on, when you get a message from her, forward it to me, and then I'll give. This is gonna be like you've seen Trolls, right?
No, I was actually thinking. No, I haven't seen Trolls. Trolls. Will Smith movie.
Justin Timberlake. It's Justin Timberlake. Hitch is what you're talking about. We're not talking about Hitch. You're talking about Trolls. I'm going to be your branch, right? I'm going to be your branch. I'm going to be in your hair. I'm going to be the guy in your ear telling you what to say while you say what it is that I'm saying. So you're going to use my words, but they're going to come out of your
movies.
Mouth.
And all the movies, the person in the ear says stuff, and then the person who's actually saying it eventually takes it out and saying, you know what, I'm just going to be honest, and that's what it ends up working anyway.
But you being honest right now is not working, so we got to try something else. Okay. So I can't do any worse than you.
That's true.
I'm just trying to help you out, to be honest.
All right.
Okay. But I'm going to tell you about my weekend, though. Okay, so okay. I was having a pretty good weekend. So obviously I won the bet. My 49ers obviously made it to the Super Bowl. I'm pretty excited about it. So on Saturday, me and my friends, we go out, we play darts. And we absolutely destroyed the entire bar. We went 9-0 that night. I'll never forget it.
Oh, do you go for 60 or do you go for the bullseye?
No. So we play cutthroat cricket is what we play. I'm not sure if you're familiar with darts, but cutthroat cricket is, you got to hit, you got to close out 20s and 19s, 18s, 17s, 15s, 16s, and then the bullseye. But you got to either hit triple. No,
this game would take an hour for one person. I don't want to be playing.
No. You sound like you're a horrible dart player, but, it's really, I could tell. I could tell by the way you talk. Because in order for you to be really good at darts, you'd have to be that guy, and that's not you. So I knew that coming off the rip that you, the muscle, that you wasn't good at darts. But so we play darts. We absolutely crush the people 9-0. And then, they call us back, and we went back up there on Monday, which is going to lead me to my to be honest. Later, we go back up there on Monday, and we're playing darts again, and it's me, my friend. We lose 6-2 because we made best out of 10. So we lose 6-2, and I'm like, dang. So I pick up my phone, and I'm scrolling through social media, and I see who's trending. It's Delonte West. And I'm like, oh, snap. I hadn't heard from him in a while. And the first, my thoughts were, man, he slept with LeBron James' mom. He obviously was that guy, right? So I'm like, dang, I wonder what he's up to now. And so I click on the link or the video, and I pull up. I was like, man, they did this man wrong. They found, this dude out on the street that's, who appears to be homeless and addicted to drugs. And he looks like Delonte West. I kind of shrugged off. I was like, man, the internet's a brutal place. And I keep scrolling, and they was like, no, this is Delonte West. And I'm like, what happened? And like, I'm scrolling through and I'm getting teary eyed. And, my boys was like, what's wrong, man? Did somebody get hurt? And I'm like, nah, man. I was like, did y'all see the video on Delonte West? And they was like, yeah, it's a sad situation. They was like, but I mean, I didn't know it was that sad. Why are you crying? I was like, because I can see myself in him. And they was like, you're nothing like him. And I was like, no, I don't think you understand. I played football. I made a lot of money. He made a lot of money. He played basketball. He lived out his dream. I lived out a dream. That could be me. This was the first time that I've ever been able to see myself in an athlete. And so I scroll down, and like, everybody's reaching out to like the NBA and like LeBron James and stuff like that. And they was like, this is a clear case of, mental illness. And I'm just like, whoa. And I stopped right there, and I leaned over to my boys, and they was like, yeah, man, the NBA really need to do something about it. And I was shocked, Jake. But I want to hear your thoughts on it, and then I'll continue my thoughts on it, because it's going to be very interesting, you know, my take on this.
So starting, I'll work backwards. Okay. I don't think the NBA is responsible. So if the NBA wanted to, that's fine, but I don't think it should be put on the NBA, because of the same thing happened to me. I don't think it should be put on The Athletic to come and take care of me. I don't think it should be whatever. So the biggest thing here is that you hope that his close-knit group, whether it is family, whether it is friends from when he was playing basketball, whether it's friends in general, are the ones to help him, because he obviously needs help. And I think it comes down to what my concern of overall is. I can't remember the NBA players who was somebody that came straight out of high school or like 1 year in college and went overseas and at the time lost his mind and like went crazy spending all his money, and then just his entire career went nowhere because of it. And every time you see a situation like that or this, you always think, you know, you always go to like, oh, is it a mental health thing, or, you know, did they create their own problem and fall down a rabbit hole of drugs or whatever it is? And
Before you finish, I want to put this in there. The definition of addiction is the fact or condition being addicted to a particular substance, thing, or activity. Mental health or mental illness or mental disorder is a wide range of conditions that affect the mode, the thinking, and the behavior. There's different definitions of clinical depression, anxiety disorder, bipolar disorder, all that. But go ahead. I just wanted to make sure our viewers heard that.
And I think there's a fine line between the two of them. And I think that if you look at this type of situation, yeah. So the real answer here is, I don't know what it is for Delonte. Is it, has he got himself addicted to things, or is it something mentally? And I'm not saying like this isn't necessarily sports related. It's not necessarily CTE related that a lot of people want to throw out there for football all the time. Is it just a mental health condition? I mean, I know people in extended parts of my family that had bipolar disorder, that had, you know, I know people personally that have had depression and stuff like that. So I think there's always a concern in the back of my mind. I gotta tell you, of this entire thing though, D'Angelo, like I want somebody obviously help Delonte West. I want somebody to help anybody who's like this or in a similar situation. So that's where I'm going to go. If you want to throw in a To Be Honest here, to be honest, I'm pissed at every single person sitting in the car watching him get his ass kicked, because I can't believe people are just sitting there with one dude, and it wasn't even like he was a beast and just going off on him. I mean, he stood there for a few seconds and then stomped on him. And this dude, and then people get out of your car and help somebody. It's a freaking human being. And that's what pisses me off, is that all these people sitting at home saying, oh, NBA, go give Delonte West help, are the same people sitting in their car videoing it so they can put it on Twitter and get famous.
Yeah, I agree with you there. This is what pisses me off. So I'm going to break it down a little bit for everybody out there. You know, I think addiction is a disease or a choice? I think it's a choice that leads to a disease, which then in turn leads to destructive behavior. And so that's when you walk a fine line with destructive behavior and, you know, mental illness. So those exhibit the same characteristics. So again, you know, you could be diagnosed differently. I mean, they show the same symptoms, but you could be diagnosed and incorrectly diagnosed, in my opinion. So with that being said, this is what really pisses me off. The same people that I've been preaching to week in and week out about professional sports is not like the jobs that you work or 9 to 5 or that you go to work to. So if you're going to compare those two, you can't burn both ends of the candle. When I say that, you can't say, hey, you know, the NBA is a job, it's a work of business. And then at the same time, ask that work of business to go help that person, because if it was you at your job and you fell on hard times and you was homeless, nobody's going to tell that job that you work for to come help you, because it's just not how it works in the real world. There's a lot of people. Right. The fact of the matter is, and the realization is, there's a lot of people that are Delonte West right now that don't have the backing of the NBA to come help them. So hearing these cries about, hey, you know, this is the NBA problem. You know, me and my wife, who was on our way in, and this is what shocked me, and this is when I knew, and this is the question I guess I'd have to ask you. So she was talking about Britney Spears on our way there. Britney Spears had that meltdown and they turned all her financial responsibility over to her father. And I said, well, did they do like, you know, a CAT scan on her brain or just to make sure, you know, she was suffering maybe from addiction or mental illness or something like that? And she was like, well, they didn't have to because she had a breakdown. I said, oh, OK. So then, you know, in comes Delonte West. And they was she was like, oh, that's 100% mental illness. And I was like, well, how do you know that? She was like, because he played basketball. So because Britney Spears doesn't have the job description of being a professional athlete or potential head trauma, then that automatically takes her out of the running of potentially having that mental illness or CTE. But then it because Delonte West played a sport, then now he's a prime candidate of having CTE or mental illness, but nobody's saying addiction, which addiction, in my opinion, is a lot stronger than all of them because that's a choice that lead to a disease.
And I 100% agree with you. And I think this kind of goes back to something you asked a couple weeks ago in an episode when you said, when you see a player get in trouble with the law or get suspended, it's like, what's your first reaction? And I told you my reaction is not what probably 95% of the population's reaction is I want to find out what the deal is. Whereas most people, as you even said, is like, oh, here we go again. And I think that's, you're 100% right, is people see famous people, and like you can just think about it, like when you see somebody in Hollywood go down this, it's basically if you put somebody from Hollywood in Delonte West's shoes of what just happened, they'd be like, oh, it was some type of drug addiction, they got into parties and blah 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 blah.
Yes.
Football, it's always they go to a snap decision and have this what they've already created a scenario for every single person out there instead of understanding that maybe it's mental illness, maybe it's a situation where they're addicted to something that they got themselves into, but no matter what it is, instead of jumping to conclusions, how about we find out? And at the same time, if you are close enough to these people, not just them, but people in your own life, try to help so this doesn't happen to normal, everyday people, quote unquote.
Yeah. And what's interesting, too, is like we see people all the time as we walk down our busy streets or we go into the city that, you know, that are homeless or and how they got there is, you know, their drug addiction or, you know, maybe it's mental illness because we've seen them that have mental illness. Not one time did we want to go in our pocket. Not one time did we want to snap a picture and, you know, try to send help from maybe their previous jobs or anything like that. But because we know as a country who Delonte West is, then we feel as if we need to go out of our way and get the NBA to reach out and help him. Well, the fact of the matter is this. If he doesn't want to help himself, then there's no help out here that's going to help him at all.
Right. And I can tell you that firsthand as I actually have a relative who did that, didn't want to get help and didn't believe it was just whatever. He's just like, I'll do whatever. And not bipolar, I forget what he had exactly, but you're right. I mean, you can only do so much. It's like the same people you know making the same mistakes all the time, whether it's just even money. Wasting their money, wasting their lives, and whatever it is. If people don't want help, they don't want help, but still try.
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes to show this right here. If you're suffering from anything, I mean, we're all fighting a battle out here that nobody knows about, whether it's addiction, whether it's mental health, whether it's, you know, horrible thoughts, whatever it is, I urge you to reach out to somebody close to you or reach out to you know, somebody that can help you, not somebody that could profit off of you being sick, somebody that can actually help you. You reach out to those people. But in order for you to reach out to those people, you got to know that you need help and you got to want help and want to change. So, yes, we urge everybody out there that have those, you know, those horrible thoughts or, you know, those addictions or whatever, you know, your recipe for disaster is to reach out and get help.
100%. Couldn't have said it better.
Yeah. So, Jake, I want to go to my To Be Honest.
Okay.
I know we was going to wait to the end, but before we get into any football, you know, I have to say this. To be honest, and this is a question at the end for you, Jake. To be honest, in this beautiful country of ours, this is what I love about the United States of America. We are free to choose and say and do whatever it is we want to do. The ramifications may be, you know, potential jail time, potential death. But most of the time, you know, the repercussions of you saying something that everybody or doing something that people don't like is, you know, we get on the internet and we type up and you know, we discuss our displeasures for what it is you do. That's what I love about this country. You know, our rights end when somebody else's rights begin. That's what I love about this country. So with that being said, we could talk about anything that we want to talk about in this country and people can form their opinion however they want to form their opinion. This is my question to you here at the end after I finish making this statement. We all understand that Colin Kaepernick took a knee in his protest, and a lot of people, he said he was protesting for social injustice for, you know, minorities in this country, correct? A lot right. of people saw it. A lot of people saw it as him disrespecting the flag. I totally understand, you know, both aspects of that. It's okay, however everybody feel about that. But this is what triggered me to bring this as my to be honest. I just want you to help this make sense to me, Jake, okay? Because I'm sitting in the athlete's position here, and I'm not a Caucasian American. So it's tough for me to understand, you know, from your eyes. So I'm gonna get your opinion on it, not necessarily as a white man in this country. The same people that was pissed off that he took a knee on the American flag on Martin Luther King's birthday, posted happy Martin Luther King, that he stood for what was right. He was nonviolent. I was blown away because I'm like, what's the difference between him and Cap?
So you want the answer?
Yeah, like I couldn't for the life of me, I couldn't understand. Jake, I was blown away. I was literally both nonviolent protests, both of them fighting for equality, social justice. Like there's no difference.
No, like, so I'll tell you why. I understand both sides of it,
Jake. Help me understand both sides. That's why I want to do it. I have no problem with it. I just want to know. Like, I just want to understand.
So I'm in Virginia Beach, which is right next to Norfolk, which is the biggest naval base on the East Coast. So it might even be the United States. So I have a lot of military here. Okay. And so a lot of people who are military and see both sides of it as well, who aren't upset with it but are upset with it. It just simply comes down to what you said. You said it in part of your setup with the whole situation with Kaepernick. Is that he chose to do it during the national anthem. Now, I mean, people out there can say, really, do we need to do the national anthem before every single sports game ever? You know, is it kind of like, hey, like this should be like kind of more of a special occasion type of thing, like for the Super Bowl, whatever. That doesn't matter. Like whatever take you want on the national anthem doesn't matter. Whatever you want to take what you want on, whether it should be a flag out there, whatever, take your hat off, whatever. That's not the issue, is that the people who are offended by it were offended when he chose to do it. Like if he would have taken a knee and during the coin toss, or you know, during when they're shaking hands, or if you know, like that, there's a good example when you got thrown out there by with the Tomlin situation. If you would have went out to the middle of the field, got on his knee and refused to shake hands and take part in the whatever it was, I guarantee you wouldn't have as much backlash as you do, because people saw it as disrespecting the flag, whether or not he is. And I don't think he was, and I agree with you, and I don't think it should be seen that way. That's how people saw it. So that's why I can see both sides, because they're coming from the, hey, you're disrespecting America by making your stance, even though your stance has really nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I was blown away. I was like, dude, it was like 3 days ago when you said, you know, I can't believe, you know, Kaepernick, you know, and let's just be honest, Jake, because that's the name of our show. Nobody likes a protest. Like, it doesn't matter what you're protesting against. Like, just the word protest in itself angers people, right? Like, I don't like something, or, you know, well, go back to, go do, like, everybody has, you know, their thoughts, and everybody was raised different. We understand that. We get that. I totally understand. Situation doesn't matter to me. Because whether you meant to do it or you didn't mean to do it, the fact that you did it is the problem, right? That's why I try to see things. The fact that you did it is a problem. So there was a lot of people that didn't like Dr. Martin Luther King. Contrary to popular belief, there was a lot of people, because if they did like him, he would be alive today. He wouldn't have been assassinated. So with that being said, you know, there was
probably
people that didn't
in some
like
ways.
Right. People probably thought there was better ways for him to protest, even though he was doing it in a non-violent way, saying, hey, you know, you shouldn't do this protest here. You shouldn't do this speech here. You shouldn't. This is the fact of the matter. You know, slavery, that's a part of my history. You know, the KKK, that's a part of my history. Everything that goes on in America, whether you're black, white, green, orange, yellow, that is a part of your history because we are Americans. I totally understand that. What bothers me is that we lose sight of the fact that we're Americans and we try to differentiate like, oh, I'm taller than you. Oh, you're darker than me, to make ourselves either feel better than the next person, where in fact, we're all the same. Me, you, and everybody else, I mean, we're a couple bad decisions or decisions in general from being Delonte West. We're also a couple decisions away from being, you know, the CEO of Apple or making, you know, $15, $20, $30 million a year. It just depends on, you know, who's guiding our steps and how we're going to get there. That's why
also a couple quick decisions away from being single at home doing a sports analysis show.
Yeah, while you pet your dog, right? Right, but that's what I'm saying. That's what I love about being in our country is because, you know, there's a wide variety of things that you can be in. There's a wide variety of things that you can do. There's a wide variety of things you can support. So with that being said, like my question again to you was, and you answered it, thank you so much, is I just couldn't, it blew my mind because I was thinking like, okay, if you're not for Kaepernick and, you know, he's said it till he's blue in the face, like, oh, I am not doing this. I'm doing this for social injustice. You know, there's eerie similarities to him and MLK as it relates to the nonviolent protests, what he's standing for or what he's kneeling for. And, you know, the fact of the matter is again, protests are all bad. Not all bad, but bad in some instances to certain people. It doesn't matter, you know, what it is that you do. That was my two, be honest. I know we got to get into football. And with that being said, did you see the publication where they said that the 49ers haven't been in the Super Bowl since 1994?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they verified account. And then, you know, people were complaining because they was like, hey, they was in the Super Bowl in 2012. You know, that was the Kaepernick-led 49ers. So what they're trying to do, and I don't know if they're trying to do this. I don't know if it was just an honest mistake. But in this digital age, honest mistakes don't go unnoticed, whether it's honest or not, right? So, you know.
Oh, trust me, I know.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They said in 94, and it was like, well, they was just.
Hey, D'Angelo, you want my side of life? If you want people to get outraged over nothing real quick, misspell one word in a 3,000-word article. Just do it.
Oh,
just
yeah, I know. I've been there. I've been there. It ain't even got to be that. And Twitter doesn't allow you to, like, you know, go in and redo things. There's no edit button on Twitter. And then, you know, you go down and everybody missed that and they want to show you that you're wrong as opposed to just receiving the message, right?
The well actually world.
Right. I get that. So I guess is this the NFL's way of trying to rid themselves of what Kaepernick brought to the table outside of football?
I don't know if it was intentional or it was just an honest mistake, honestly. That's, I don't know.
But we don't get that benefit of the doubt, Jake.
No, we don't. But right, see, so you know me. I try to give everybody the benefit
I know.
Of the doubt.
I know you do. I know you do. That's what I love about you, Jake. That's what I love about you. And that's why I transitioned it.
I've also been there. Like, I'm just thinking, like, what if it was just thrown down the line and some random intern was putting things together and just wasn't paying attention and just threw it together and made the announcement and said that whole thing. And then, you know, you just never know. And that's why, like I said, the benefit of the doubt. Now, if they were to double down on it, that'd be another story.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's it was interesting because I was waiting on, you know, the last time we had been to the Super Bowl and it was like 94. And I was like, nah, I'm pretty sure we got blasted in the Super Bowl when Cap was the quarterback. But
My biggest issue is did you see Joe Montana tweeting about winning the Super Bowl? My biggest issue is why the hell are his jerseys and his pants so damn wrinkled up in his setup behind him? Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see it.
That aggravated the living hell out of me.
First of all, you're going to get off my damn quarterback. You don't want me to T.O. you. That's my quarterback.
I told you I don't like him.
Yeah. Why don't you like Montana?
Because he made me feel like a fool in my first interview ever.
No, I told you this story. I mean, did he make you feel like a fool? Was it a foolish thing you did? And then later realized that was a rookie mistake.
It could have been both. But I think he's also experienced enough to have seen. So, all right, we'll do a real quick version because we got to talk about the 49ers. So we'll stick with him. Here's the quick version. The quick version is, this is one of my first years, probably the first year working in sports radio. I'm still in my early 20s out of college. I am super nervous because we get the announcement, hey, Joe Montana's doing his foundation locally. Do you want to send somebody to interview? And they said, yeah, we'll send Jake. So I'm headed in there trying to plan out my questions to a T beforehand, knees shaking, probably sweat running down my back. I tried to come up with a question to make me feel more loose and get him more loose because, as you always hear, is like, you know, start off with a joke or something like that. So Joe Montana doesn't have a nickname. And so I went in and I said, hey, we don't really have a nickname for you. There had to be something they called you in high school or college that we've just never known. And he looks at me dead in the face. I know I probably was shaking my hands while I'm talking to him and just goes, nope. And left it, nothing, dead air. Nope, dead air, nothing. Just stared me straight in the face. And so, yes, it got even worse.
And
I don't even remember.
You disliked him from that?
Yes, because I don't even remember the rest of the interview. I don't remember what I asked him after that.
Stop it, Jake.
Because
I do not picture you as that type of person. Are you serious? No. But he told you the truth.
He told me the truth, but he could have at least expounded.
There was nothing.
I know 100% he could tell how nervous I was.
Bro, what does that mean? What is that? You want him to do your job for you?
Hey, we just started. No. We just started off the show of understanding when people are in tough situations and trying to lend a helping hand. I gotta tell you where I am today and where I am from that day one where I interviewed him. Yeah. Hey. I'm not saying I'm on your level at all, but I still find it interesting today, D'Angelo, that there's people in the industry that are like, oh, I'm super excited to meet you. And every time I hear that, I'm like, really? It's just me. But I've seen people be nervous. I know what it feels like. You could have helped.
You help them out.
Yes.
So
Joe Montana to this day made me feel like an idiot. And now, yes, I don't like Joe Montana for that.
That is unbelievable, bro. All he said was no. Then that was you supposed to come back and be like, yeah, you were supposed to come back and say something. It sounds like you're holding a grudge. Let it go. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make sure we're going to reenact this thing. I'm going to get Joe Montana to come back. I'm going to have a talk with him. See if I can't get him to redo this conversation. So will it change your perception of how you view Joe Montana if he was to come back and give you the interview that you wanted?
No, because the interview is already done. He got the interview he wanted. I don't. I'm assuming. I have no idea what I asked him. I told you I don't remember it. So let's talk about your 49ers.
Yes,
they made it. They're in the Super Bowl.
We're going to win the Super Bowl. And I'm going to tell you how this Super Bowl is going to go. Do you remember the Seattle Seahawks and the Denver Broncos?
I thought you were going to say Steelers. Yes, I remember that.
No. You remember how Seattle just beat the shit out of them, and it wasn't even a game at halftime. That's exactly
what they're going to do to this Chiefs offense?
I'm telling you that that's what they're going to do to this Chiefs offense, and here's why. Matchups. So, and I'm going to go over the whole weekend for you. The 49ers did what the Tennessee Titans should have done. I told you that the Tennessee Titans' only hope of winning was if they ran the ball. They got away from running the ball, even being up 10-0 at one point, 17-0. They got away from that, and they put it in Tannehill hands. And you and I both know that Tannehill is not the quarterback that they thought he was. So that essentially took the game right out of their hands. The Tennessee Titans hands and put it in the Kansas City Chiefs hands, and they did it the best. This is what I mean by matchups. The Chiefs love to throw the ball. We got the number one defense versus the pass. It's the same way if you look at Seattle when they played the Denver Broncos. All the Broncos had to do was run the ball. When they stopped running the ball and started throwing it, it was pick sixes, and like Peyton Manning had his worst day as a professional that day. And everybody was like, oh, he's done, it's over with. And a couple years later, he ended up winning the Super Bowl again. Not because he threw the ball, but because he did what he should have did the first time and just handed the damn ball off and let his defense play defense. That's how I know for a fact that the 49ers will win this game, and they're going to win it hands down, because all that time that Mahomes normally has, he's not going to have that. Bosa's not giving them enough time to do that. That defense, the way we're calling our defense right now, and the blitz packages, and the way that we line up on these receivers, it's going to be interesting. The only worry that I have is that I pray that our defensive coordinator, smart enough to know that Richard Sherman cannot shadow Kill. You just can't do that. That speed difference is mesmerizing from a standpoint. I'm gonna put the young guy on him, and I'm gonna let Richard Sherman shut down the other side of the field. So now I can call my defenses to the side that he's throwing the ball on, or away from the side he's throwing the ball on, because I can control one side of the field. If I can control one side of the field, I can beat you. And that's how we're going
to do it. Well, that's the good news, is that they don't use him to shadow, so that hopefully they don't change and get into their own head and screw that up for this game. But let me ask you this for this situation here. There's two questions. One is, if the Chiefs are able to put points on the board, do you think your quarterback and Jimmy Garoppolo has enough on his own to keep the pace?
Well,
I think that's the biggest question.
Well, it's a big question, because he hadn't had to do that all year.
He's had three big games, twice against the Cardinals and once against the Bengals. And for everybody out there that doesn't know, that's just a casual fan, I'm not talking down to you, but the Chiefs' pass defense is actually pretty dang good, and people don't realize that. That's why I said that, because people assume that the Chiefs' defense sucks. Their run defense does. Their run defense is just abysmal, but their pass defense is actually pretty good.
Did you see us run the ball last week?
Oh, of course. And so, All right. So you admit you have a little bit of concern with Jimmy Garoppolo. So let me ask you.
I do have a little concern there, but that's the thing. If the Denver Broncos can win a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning with one arm, a half an elbow, and a big ass head, I know for a fact.
And a cyborg neck. Don't forget
that's
about
what
that.
I'm saying. Like, like an artificial neck. I know for a fact that we have enough to get this done, and we have enough to get it done at a big level. Richard Sherman was on that team when they beat the 49ers in Seattle, where he knocked down the ball and he was like Amari Cooper.
Yeah, and your boy
sorry tail receiver. Yeah. That was
your
the Super
boy Cam
Bowl right
Chancellor.
There. Yeah. So now, moving over now, he has an opportunity to do the same thing, and Richard Sherman and the rest of the old heads, if they want to, can ride off in the sunset, and Jimmy Garoppolo can look back at New England and say, ha ha, told you so. And literally all he did was hand the ball off.
Because all right, that's so what two he more sub questions on this. So one is, and I'm going to save the bigger one for second. So quick version one, do you have any thoughts on why Bieniemy is not getting a lot of attention for head coaching position? Do you think that is he not calling the plays? Is he just kind of like Reed's assistant, his confidant almost to speak? Or can you explain why? Or do you think it's a race thing? I mean, that's a legitimate question we could ask here.
Yeah, it's a legitimate question. The Rooney Rule is, given African Americans. Yeah, it's a joke. All you have to do is interview, a couple of black coaches.
I'll tell you what,
coaches.
D'Angelo, the only reason the whole Marvin Lewis situation with the Cowboys came through was because of the Rooney Rule. I'll say that 100%,
right.
I believe.
Yes, it was 100%. Yeah, it's all smoke and mirrors. Hey, as long as I interview you, bring you in, it's protocol. Ha, 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 shake the hands. High five the wife and kids, say, we really want you. And then, boom, we hire Mike McCarthy because he's the best fit for us. That's it. This is what I was hanging my hat on. I knew for a fact. I was like, dude, the Browns are smart. They're going to wait. They're going to get Eric Bieniemy because he's going to be the right coach for it. just thinking from the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. Even if you really, 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 you know, want somebody like Reed and you can't get him because obviously, you know, he's the head coach there, then, you know, like he's, you know, even if he's making the calls or not making the calls, he's close enough to bring that type of culture to your offense and to your team. Because let's be honest, the Browns offense has been the laughing stock of the NFL. And this guy is an offensive coordinator. Why not hire him? But what do? You go to Minnesota and get their OC? What has he done? Like, what has he proven? Like, what has he done? What is he? Who is he made better?
He made, who is he made Kirk better? Cousins look. He made Kirk Cousins look adequate. Question mark?
No. Who he made? No, the contract Kirk Cousins signed made him look adequate because he just looked like an average damn quarterback to me. But then you look at a guy like Mahomes and what he's doing in Kansas City. So that's why I was holding my, I was banking my head on. I was like, ah, you know, the Browns are smart. They're really smart. But then, you know, you look at the New York Giants hire. And, you know, I told you I praised them because it was smart that they got him. But now looking at Eric Bieniemy not having a job right now or even a interview or even, you know, being strongly considered. Now I look at their special teams coach job and I'm just like, how the hell did that even happen? Like, how did the Giants even sign this guy? Because if I'm an OC, I'm not going to take an OC job with somebody else. Hell, I'm in the Super Bowl. You know, and that's what's crazy right now. Eric Bieniemy being in the Super Bowl is the best thing to happen for him because now he's busy. You know, he's still working. Everybody out on the outside, you know, whether you're black, white, green, orange, yellow, don't understand why he doesn't have a job or why he didn't even get an offer. But there's coaches out there that are quote unquote proven that hadn't won shit that is getting all these opportunities. And you're just like, dude, this guy right here is going to the Super Bowl. He's busy. We get it. We understand. But then in the offseason, you know, what do we do? Because we already know the Carolina Panthers are not going to be where they need to be. It's going to be a couple years or even longer before they get to where they need to be. You got a special teams coach in New York, so their special teams are going to be top notch. You guys are probably going to have 9 or 10 returns for touchdowns next year because your head coach is a special teams guru, and you're going to have more special team periods than you do offense defense periods. And then you look at the Browns and the Giants, they're going to be in the same situation that they was, you know, this year and the years to come because they didn't make any upgrades. Like, you think Mike McCarthy is the answer for you in Dallas? Come on, man. You think the Minnesota Vikings offensive coordinator is the answer for you in Cleveland? You can't hire Eric Bieniemy. If I'm him, I'm not going to take an OC job somewhere else. I don't give a damn how much money you offer me. I got Patrick Mahomes. I can literally sit back, call what the hell I want to call, and he going to make me look good. That's even if you think I call 100%. Plays.
Look, I thought the same thing because the Browns had no pressure because they had the pickings of the rest. So one baffles me. So here's one, and I want to see if this one might get under your skin because this is specifically for running backs. So this is the last one before we move on to one more thing and then get out of here for today. But it's Raheem Mostert's success for your 49ers. And yes. Here's where I'm going to come with this, D'Angelo. So Raheem Mostert went bananas. I think this to you before, and I know I've said it on my own podcast several times, is I still find it fascinating that Kyle Shanahan has been as long as he has, and people haven't been able to figure out how to stop his running backs. It doesn't matter who he puts back there. And that's the question I want to put to you, D'Angelo. I don't know if you've seen this, because I know you try to stay away from this, but there's the analytics world that's all of a sudden really heavy with football these days, talking about, you know, points per expected touch and blah, 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 and this, that. And there's been this real, and this is the one I don't know if you've seen, you might have, but over this past year, there's been this big campaign for, quote unquote, running backs don't matter because it doesn't matter if you're Saquon Barkley. I hear it. It doesn't matter if you're Saquon Barkley, and it doesn't matter if you're freaking Wayne Gallman. It doesn't matter who you are, because if you're in the right system, if you're used the right way, it doesn't matter. Any running back can do anything in the right situation. And I want you to give your opinion on that, and especially how it goes with Raheem Mostert and his success with the 49ers.
To all the people out there, men, women, in some cases children, and, you know, some cases some older people or old people that think running backs don't matter, you can go fuck yourself, because the 49ers would not be in the situation they're in right now had it not been for Mostert and that running game. Because even when he came out, when Tevin came in, he still didn't move the ball the way that Mostert was moving the ball, because his running style really has adapted, and they've really adopted his type of run style in that offense. And is
hold
very
on before
effective.
You go any further. I want to jump in because here's going to be your counter argument. Again, I'm playing devil's advocate. I don't believe it for
okay,
a second.
You could,
I just want
you could,
to know that.
You could. Yeah, it's
this
fine.
Is the counter argument, D'Angelo. Raheem Mostert's undrafted. This is exactly yes. why they don't matter, is because somebody like him can have this success. There's your pushback that you're going to get.
Yeah, and I totally get that, because the same situation that the running backs are going through, the quarterbacks should be going through, because all the quarterbacks that we mentioned, we talked about this last week, that I named, that was number one picks overall, and you know, some potentially selected in the first round, none of them panned out versus the ones that did pan out. But yet you don't see a quarterbacks don't matter type situation. So, you know, they put us in a box. I totally understand that. I get it. You know, it's just like the coaching situation. Everybody's pissed off that the head coach in Carolina got so much money, and now they got to pay coaches this X amount of money because they're the first one and they paid a rookie, you know, $10 million a year. So now we got to pay all these coaches these exponential amount of money. Like other 31 teams are pissed off. That's how they was with the running back. When Adrian Peterson got his deal, they was like, dude, y'all are really pushing these damn numbers really high. So now our highest paid on our team now is our quarterback and our running back. And that's a liability, because if one of them get hurt, we got this Ferrari sitting in the garage with a flat tire. Yet again, we driving our Bentley and stuff. But if that one go down, we got to go to the Hyundai Sonata or the damn Nissan Maximum that doesn't quite get the firepower that we need. However, so with that being said, you saying that the pushback can come. Hey, you know, get us in the fourth round, get us in the first round, get us in the seventh round, get us in free agent. But once you get us and we show you our worth, pay us. That's all we're saying. We're not telling you to pay us before we give you the product. We telling you to pay us after you get the product. That's how we work as running backs. Quarterbacks, they want you to pay them before they go out and they perform. Because they may not perform how you want them to perform, but yet they got their money. When we get our money, we earned our money. We get it right after the big year that we have. And I hope that Mostert's up next year. Is he up next year?
I don't think so. I think Breida's up. Right. But I think Breida's a restricted free agent.
Yeah, but he's going to get some nice coins, though. Just him, you know, King Henry, he's going to get some nice coins. Because not because... And Coach Tomlin used to say this all the time, not because they're rushing for 2 and 3 or 150 yards in football games, not in the regular season. It's the fact that they're rushing for 200 yards and 150 yards in very, very significant games, in very, very significant and somewhat limited opportunities, because you know the 32 carries and the 34 carries that that King Henry got in the playoffs, and I'm calling him King Henry because he earned that name. The King Henry got, he didn't get those in the regular season. In fact, they didn't give him the ball enough. They had to wait to like, oh, we can lean on this guy now. Same thing with Mostert. We can
load
lean
management.
On this guy. Yeah, this is crazy, right? Like, you get load management in 16 games. Like, the NBA is really starting to bleed over into all sports, right? But that's what it is. Like, give us the ball. Let us earn our money. What they try to do is they try to take the ball out of our hands so we can't earn our money, so they can keep that dollar amount down. Hey, let's keep the money in the quarterback situation, because the quarterback is normally, you know, our captain. The quarterback is normally who everybody listens to. But you know what? I'm going to tell you just like this. If I go to the Tennessee Titans and Tannehill say something and Derrick Henry say something, I ain't going to hear what the hell Tannehill got to say. Bro, you terrible. I'm not even listening to you. You're not even the quarterback of this team. It's Derrick damn Henry. He threw more damn touchdowns than you did in the playoffs. Hell, this is what I'm thinking. But again, I'm biased. I'm a running back. I'm going to listen to the running backs over the quarterbacks anyway, because you're not getting the ball off if they blitz and we don't pick it up. We, outside of the quarterback, we are the second in charge in terms of, you know, if the quarterback going to actually get the ball off, because when they blitz, we got the help somewhere, whether it's chipping a guy or picking up a guy that's blitzing. We normally fix the mistakes of the offensive lineman and sometimes the quarterback, because he doesn't always remember to play. I'm super biased as it relates to this, Jake. I get so pissed when people, like, they treat us like kickers, bro, because I don't think kickers matter. I don't think they matter until they matter.
They
but
don't.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They either going to cost you a game or they going to somewhat win you a game. I don't think they win you a game because the offense put them in position to kick the ball.
You know how I feel. Kickers don't matter because kickers only have – here's how you know. If the offense fails to do their job is the only time kickers matter. That's
right.
The only time.
I
was just going to close it on this, though. I was going to say, you know what would really kind of get under your skin and piss you off is the fact that people use you for the argument that
I know. I get that. I get that all the time.
Because you know what you get? You get your name gets thrown out there because they go, you see what he was able to do when Le'Veon Bell went down?
But they forget this. I got to make sure I let everybody know this. And this is coming from me, D'Angelo Williams. This is coming from me. For all of you out there that use me as the scapegoat on why running backs don't matter, you can kiss my ass because I was a starter in Carolina for 8 years. 8 years, I got hurt my 9th year. I end up getting let go and I signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I was a starter, sixth man in the NBA since we talked about, you know, that bleeding over. I was a sixth man coming off the bench averaging 20, 30 points a game. So I very well could have been the starter and I did my job as such. So for all of you using me as a scapegoat, you can kiss my ass.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.